If you take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Ephesians, we're going through this great book. We're up in chapter 1, and we're going to finish the chapter today. And as you're turning to Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to tell you the story of a man by the name of Victor. He grew up, and as he grew up, he didn't quite fit in. All right. He had a hard time growing up. He considered himself a loser. By the age of 16, while he was still in high school, his high school counselor told him, "You need to drop out of school. You need to get a job." By the time he was 32 years old, he had gone through 76 different jobs. All right. And when he interviewed for the 77th job, they did something different that none of the other places did. All right. They gave him an IQ test. All right. And the normal, you know, if you had a 100 or above, that was okay. But he had a 161 IQ. He never knew it, all right? He never realized it. Nobody realized it, not in high school, not the 76 other jobs that he had. But here was a place that took time. And Victor Serenko, he became famous because of his research in laser surgery. Wow, yeah. And he eventually became president of the Mensa group so that he wanted to help other people that were geniuses just like him so that they could be successful in life as well. And when I heard his story, it made me think of Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He was trying to let them know that through Jesus Christ, they were blessed. Yeah, he was giving them their spiritual blessings. If you look down in verse 4, he says, "You are chosen." And verse 5, he says, "You are adopted." Yeah, we're now the sons and daughters of God. In verse 6, you have been accepted. There's no waiting list, all right? He says, you are accepted. In verse 7, he says, you have been redeemed. He also, in verse 7, talks about your sins are forgiven. And down in verse 13, he says, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, great news. Yeah, through Jesus Christ. He begins this amazing letter with a hymn of praise telling them all the spiritual blessings they have in Jesus Christ. Just like Victor wanted people to know. Yeah, he wanted to help other people just like him. Paul was saying, I was the worst of the worst. He's trying to say to them, I persecuted the church. Yeah, I put people to death. I had them thrown in prison. I had them beaten and tortured. But now, through Jesus Christ, my life is changed. And not only my life, but your life can be changed too. And today, we're going to take a look. Paul is showing us how to live. He begins by this wonderful hymn of praise, and then from praise, he goes into prayer. All right? And we're going to pick it up in verse 15. All right? Paul is going to pray, and in verse 15, he says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." He begins by talking about faith. Now, faith is a gift of God, and everyone has faith. God makes sure that everybody has faith. No one can say to him, "Oh, Lord, I would have believed in you if only I had faith." No, everyone has faith. and it's a choice we make. And Paul was concerned because his last time he went to Ephesus, he says something to the Ephesians, and I want you to take a look at it. So if you hold your place here in Ephesians 1 and turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. And this would be the last time Paul will be in Ephesus. And here in Acts chapter 20, all right, beginning with verse 29. Yeah, he's writing about faith, and he was concerned for their faith. And he says, "For I know this, that after my departure," okay, after Paul leaves, something was going to happen. And he says, "Hey, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." He says, "Hey, Satan's going to attack this church." Yeah, people are going to come in and try to stop what is taking place here. He's going to stop the Holy Spirit from being poured out, from God's leading and guiding and blessing. He says, "Hey, there's going to be false teachings and false teachers coming in." In verse 30, he says, "Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn you to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." He's saying, "Hey, you need to be a person of the word. You need to study the word. You need to know the word. You need to believe the word. You need to live the word. You need to be connected to Jesus Christ, because hard times are coming. And the only way that we're going to get through is through his word, by being connected to him, trusting in him, believing in him." And Paul wanted to prepare the people. He not only here talked about faith, he knew that their faith was going to be tested, but he also talked about love. In Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about love. And here right now, he is praising them for their love for Jesus Christ. But in the future, some 35 years later, John is going to write. Yeah, the same John who was the disciple of Jesus, who wrote the Gospel of John, who writes the epistles of John. All right? He's going to write the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 2, yeah, he's going to write specifically to the church at Ephesus, all right? And he says to that church, "Hey, yeah, you're doing lots of good things, but I have something against you." And what was that? Yeah, they lost their first love. That's Revelation 2, verse 4. Yeah, they lost their first love. Their first love was to be for Jesus. Yeah, spending time with him each and every day. Just like Paul is here in the letter to the Ephesians. He started out with praising God. Yeah, and now he's spending time in prayer. He's praying. He's lifting his prayers up for the church at Ephesus. And he's concerned. He's concerned about their faith, because he knows their faith is going to be tested. He's concerned about their love, because he knows their love is going to be tested. And 35 years later, John notices something. The Holy Spirit is telling him that they have lost their first love. Yeah, they were doing good things for God. It was a good church. You would want to belong to this church. But spiritually, they were separating themselves from God. And we have to be careful in our own relationship with God, that nothing gets in between us and him, that we don't let our love for him, go away, to decrease. Our love needs to be growing. We need to be sharing that love with others. And Paul and John were concerned for this great church. Yeah, I read the story about a farmer. And this farmer had a piece of metal that he wanted to use on his farm. And the first thing he thought about doing is he had a big hammer, and he was going to shape it through using the hammer, all right? And he started pounding away, but the metal was too strong for him. In fact, the handle on the hammer broke, all right? So he said, oh, wow, what am I going to do? And so he thought, well, I have a good saw with a very heavy-duty blade. Let me use that. But as he was using the saw, it started to break some of the teeth of the blade. So that wasn't working. And then he said, oh, I know what I'll do. He had a torch, all right? And he started heating up the metal. And then the metal started to become flexible, and he was able to bend it and shape it the way he wanted. And I realize that is what love does. There's power in love, and things that we thought were impossible for people to change, for people to transform, yeah, through love, through showing God's mercy, His grace, people can be changed and transformed. Yeah, just like that metal was shaped and changed. Hey, God's love changes. It's not going to be the hammer that changes people. All right? Yeah, it's not going to be using that saw. Okay? It's going to be through love that people are changed. I read a story by Watchman Nee. All right? Yeah, that great man of God. He knew a man who was a rice farmer who lived on the top of a hill. And early in the morning, he would get up and he would make sure that there was water in all his fields. All right? He would go around, and if they weren't filled with water, he made sure they were filled. Well, later that day, one of his neighbors that lived below him saw that his rice fields were filled, so he decided that he was going to get his water. And so he let the water out of those fields, and they drained down into his fields. Well, Watchman Nee's friend got very upset, and he prayed about it. All right? Yeah, that's a good start. You pray about it. And this happened several times. It just wasn't once. It happened several times. And, oh, the man was fit to be tied. And God gave him an answer. And God told him, yeah, to put the water in the man's fields first and then go fill up yours. All right? So this is what the farmer did. And his neighbor who was stealing his water came to him, apologized to him, and he said, hey, what makes you so different than anybody else? And his neighbor got to tell his neighbor about Jesus Christ. And this man became a Christian. You see, Paul was concerned about love, about the faith and love that it's going to be tested and tried. And I want you to know today our love will be tested and tried. Our faith will be tested and tried. And we need to stay connected to Jesus Christ. We need to show to the world His mercy, His grace, His love. It says here, I'm in Ephesians 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him He's praying for the church at Ephesus. And this should be our prayers today, that throughout the church here in Fortuna, throughout all the churches in Fortuna, that everyone should know God. Today should have the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, and the knowledge of who God really is, what he is really like. Now, when I came across that word revelation, my mind just jumped. It excited me that he used this word revelation. All right? Yeah, I think of the book of Revelation. But if we were to turn to Galatians chapter 1, right before Ephesians is Galatians. Yeah, Paul here has a revelation. And I want to show you what the revelation is. All right, Galatians 1, beginning with verse 11. All right, yeah, Paul was on his way to Damascus. Yeah, Paul was out. He was persecuting the church. He was at his lowest point, his darkest point in his life. Yeah, Paul at this time was unconverted, all right? And in his darkest hour, guess what? Yeah, Jesus is going to come to him. Jesus is going to give him a revelation. Yeah, and this is the importance of revelation. Take a look at it. I'm in verse 11, Galatians 1, verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church beyond measure and tried to destroy it. But I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, who called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. In other words, he had a revelation. And that revelation was Christ was going to be revealed in him. And we need to have that same revelation today. Here he was at his lowest point, his darkest point in his life. Yeah, he was running away from God. He was persecuting the church. He was trying to bring an end to the name of Jesus Christ. And yet, God took time and revealed to him Jesus Christ. And God wants to do the same for each one of us. This is what Paul was saying. He says, I know about revelation. And when you're going through dark times, when you feel all alone, I will come close to you. You're never alone. Yeah, I love you, and I want to be with you, and I want to reveal myself to you. Yeah. And not only John, not only Paul, but John. Yeah, in the book of Revelation. Yeah, in the book of Revelation, it begins, John is on the island called Patmos. And why is he on the island called Patmos? Because they tried to put him to death. Yeah, he would not worship Caesar. And because he would not call Caesar God, yeah, the Romans tried to put him in boiling oil. Yeah, and they put him down, and when they brought him back up, they thought he would be no more. But God was with him. God blessed him, and his life was spared. What do you do to a man that you can't boil to death? All right? Yeah, you send him to an island called Patmos. And there he was on that island called Patmos, all alone. Or at least he was thinking he was alone. Yeah, he was all alone. Yeah, and on the Lord's day, yeah, the Sabbath day, Jesus Christ comes to him. He sees him. He hears him. Hey, he reaches out and touches him. Yeah, he had a revelation of Jesus Christ. And I say this to you today because there are going to be dark times, hard times, when we feel all alone. Yeah, and Paul knew the church at Ephesus was going to go through it. He went through it. Yeah, and he knows that every believer goes through these hard times. But hey, God will be with you and help you and strengthen you. Yeah. In verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We have a living hope. Yeah, and that hope is Jesus Christ himself. Yeah, when we have Jesus Christ in our hearts, we have hope. Amen. During World War II, and there was a submarine off the coast of Massachusetts that ran into a battleship, or the battleship ran in. Anyhow, they collided, all right? The submarine sunk. Immediately, they sent out a rescue team down to the submarine. Yeah, the submarine was laying at the bottom of the ocean, and they heard tapping, all right? And the tapping was in Morse code. And they could hear the tapping, and they could interpret it. Yeah, it says, they tapped out, "Is there any hope?" Yeah, they wanted to know if there was any hope. And Jesus is saying, oh, yes, there is hope. There's hope for you. There's hope for this world. Yeah, and that hope is him. He is coming again, and we are going to be with him and live and reign with him for all eternity. There's a hymn I like. Oh, I love this hymn. I love, when I began my ministry, I had to pick out my first hymn, and this was the hymn I chose. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and right that we have, my friends. Yeah, and through Jesus Christ, he's calling us. Don't give up. Hang on. Hey, pray not only for yourself, but pray for one another, that everyone will have this living hope. Yeah. Gideon, yeah. He was a man who struggled with his faith. He struggled with his trust in God, and God comes to him, calls him a mighty warrior. Yeah, and Gideon probably was scratching his head. Yeah, he had to go up and battle the Midianites, and he had an army of 32,000 men. Oh, he probably felt pretty good, pretty comfortable. Oh, at least I got 32,000 men. But God says, that's too many, Gideon. Yeah, that's too many. Let me just take a few of them away. And then from 32,000, he went to 10,000. All right. Hey, Gideon was probably still feeling okay. All right, I would prefer 32,000. But God said, hey, that's too many. Yeah. And so he reduced his army to 300. And Gideon, if I was Gideon, I think I would have went with those 10,000 men. But Gideon stays there. And I think Gideon by now figured it out. If he was the only one that was left, he would have won if it was just him and God. All right? Yeah, one with God is the majority. Amen. All right? Yeah, one with God. Yeah, he could have defeated any army. He could have defeated the largest army in the world as long as God was on his side. And he could have had the largest army in the world, but without God on his side, he didn't stand a chance. And it's the same way with us today. It's the same way. Yeah. Abraham, he had to wait for his son a long time until it was impossible for him to have children, him and his wife. Yeah, what's impossible for man is possible with God. And that's what he had to learn. He wants us to learn. He wants us to have a living hope in Jesus Christ, because Jesus has chosen us. He's adopted us. He's accepted us. He's redeemed us. He's forgiven us of our sins, and he sealed us with his Holy Spirit. I saw a movie years ago, all right? This would have been last millennium, all right? The story was called Johnny Lingo. I don't know if you remember this little movie, all right? And Johnny Lingo lived in the village where if you wanted to marry someone, you had to give a dowry, all right? And what you were expected to give were cows, all right? And if you gave three cows, all right, now that was the norm, all right? You got a pretty good wife for three cows, all right? And it very rarely did someone give five cows for a wife. And Johnny Lingo fell in love with a girl by the name of Sarita. All right, she was shy, she was plain, all right? But Johnny Lingo saw something special in her. And to help her to understand how much he loved her and what he saw in her, he didn't give one cow or two or three that was expected. He brought eight cows, something unheard of. Everybody was surprised. And then he looked at her, they looked at Johnny Lingo and said, hey, that's not an eight-cow wife. But, hey, Sarita, because her husband, her lover, the one that had married her, put down eight cows. Her life was transformed. She was changed. She was no longer this shy, plain girl. She just radiated. She glowed wherever she went. And nobody in the village ever got eight cows, all right? And today, I want you to know that you weren't bought with eight cows, all right? You weren't saved with money. You weren't saved by gold or silver. You were saved by the precious blood of the Lamb. You were saved by Jesus Christ. Yeah, and this is what Paul was trying to help the Ephesians realize, that through Jesus Christ, they have all these wonderful blessings in him. And Paul ends this section in Ephesians 1 talking about the power of God, the incredible power of God that brought back to life Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead, and through him we can have a new life. To him we can have salvation. Through him we can be transformed. And he's exalted. He can sit at the right hand of the Father. He is our Lord. He's above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And he is the head of the church, and not the pastor, and not the Northern California Conference, and not the GC. It's Jesus Christ who is the head of this church. And we have a great future in him. Before World War II, there was a place in Itasca, Texas. It had a school. And while the school was in session, a fire broke out. Back then, they didn't have the rules and regulations that we now have. All right? And 263 children died in the fire. Horrible. Shocked the community, shocked the state, shocked the country. And after some time, they decided that they were going to build a new school. A new school that was going to have the finest uh, in, in sprinkler systems. Yeah, the finest ways to stop fire so that that disaster would never happen again. And soon they had their school built, and everybody was proud of their new school. All right? And the city started to grow again. Good times were coming back. And pretty soon that school was overflowing. And they built a new wing to the school. And as they were hooking up that sprinkler system to the new wing, they noticed something. They noticed that the old wing, or the school that they first rebuilt, all right, yeah, they noticed that that was not connected, all right? Yeah, for years, they thought their kids were safe. They thought if a fire came, the sprinkler system would work. But it was not set up properly. And today, I want us to make sure we're connected. Amen. I want to make sure that you're connected to Jesus Christ. I can't do it for you, but you can do it. You know? And this is what Paul is pleading with the church at Ephesus. And I plead with you today. Be connected to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy and grace. Oh, thank you for Paul's prayers, which helps remind us what is really most important. It's our relationship with you. And forgive us if we have neglected this relationship. And Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you will reconnect us with you and that you won't let us rest until we are fully surrendered, that we are completely yours and that we will hold nothing back and that we will experience your presence, your power in our lives. May you increase our faith. May our love overflow to those all around us, our family, our friends. Lord, bless us and save us in your kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.